Translation: when the chief Lord of the universe, Lord Brahma, Swayambhu, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create, he thought himself incapable. Therefore, I gave him advice, and in accordance with my instructions, he underwent extremely difficult austerities. Because of these austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create 9 personalities, including you, to help him in the functions of the creation. Purport: nothing is possible without tapasya. Lord Brahma, however, was empowered to create this entire universe because of his austerities. The more we engage in austerities, the more we become powerful by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, Rishabdev advised his sons, Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Satvam Sudhyayet. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. It's a quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 5, Text 1. In our material existence, we are impure, and therefore we cannot do anything wonderful. But if we purify our existence by tapasya, we can do wonderful things by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, tapasya is very important, as stressed in this verse. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurmitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shiva Sadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here we are hearing about, this is the conversation between the Lord and Daksha, who is the chief progenitor or the father of mankind. Here Daksha had a problem. He had created living beings before, but of course Narada Muni had deviated them to austerities or to renunciation prematurely. But Daksha's desire to create more progeny was still not satisfied. So in order to fulfill his desires, he approached the Lord. Now the Lord is telling him that when the chief Lord of the universe, Lord Brahma, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create, he thought himself incapable. Therefore, I gave him advice, and in accordance with my instructions, he underwent extremely difficult austerities. Because of these austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create 9 personalities, including you, to help him in the functions of creation. In the purport, Prabhupada says that nothing is possible without tapasya. So tapasya is a main point in this verse. So also we find that in the that canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the conversation between Lord Kapila Dev and his great mother Devahuti, he is explaining to her. He says, Chetu Kalu Asya Bandaya, that Chitta, the consciousness, he says the stage when the consciousness of living being is engaged in the three modes of material nature, that stage is called conditional life. And then when the same consciousness is attached or become engaged in relationship with the Lord, his state of being is called liberated. So here in the same way, we find that Daksha, who is in this stage of conditional life, is trying to approach the Supreme Lord in order to execute his duty. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that according to his conditioning, the living entity will try to appease the Lord in four ways. One is bhaya, out of fear, fearing going to hell, fear due to poverty, fear due to bad reactions from his or her karma. So he approaches the Lord out of the emotion of bhaya. And then another reason is asha. Asha means material aspirations. When the living entities want to advance materially, they also approach the Lord. And then the third reason is kartavya buddhi. Kartavya buddhi means out of duty. Out of duty, the living entity will approach the Lord. And then the fourth is raga, out of genuine attachment to the Lord, the living entity will approach the Lord. So we see here, Daksha is not approaching the Lord out of genuine attachment, but he is approaching him out of duty, because he is a progenitor. He is supposed to fill the universe with progeny. And in his attempt, his endeavors were thwarted by Narada Muni. Now he is approaching the Lord so that he could successfully perform his duties. So this is how the living entity, according to his conditioning, approaches the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that up until he comes to rag or genuine attachment, his devotion cannot be considered pure. He can rise to pure devotion service when he, out of genuine attraction to the Lord, approaches the Lord. In that way, there could be a wonderful reciprocation. Just as we see Arjuna. Arjuna is approaching Krishna. Arjuna is coming to the battlefield as a very brave and enthusiastic warrior. When he comes, he sees all these Kauravas in front of him, just as I'm seeing you in front of me. So he came and he saw them face to face, and he began to think, how will I rule the universe, having killed all these personalities? How it will be to live without Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of my worship? And then when he thought like this, he began to tremble. And his Gandiva bow fell from his hand. And he approaches Krishna. And he says, Oh Janardana, I've heard by disciplic succession that those who destroy Skula Dharma, family traditions, dwell in hell always. In other words, he's questioning Krishna. How is it that you as Janardana, Janardana means one who protects the people, how is it that you are engaging me in this ghastly civil war where I will be destroying all these great personalities? So Krishna is a protector of people, just as we see here also in this case, he is protecting Daksha. Janardana means the protector of people. And then he uses words like Madhusudana. He says, Oh Madhusudana, why are you trying to engage me in this ghastly civil war? Madhusudana comes from Madhu. There was a demon Madhu that Krishna killed. So here Arjuna, in addressing Krishna as Madhusudana, he's pointing out to the Lord in a very friendly way that you have killed Madhu. It was okay, Madhu was a demon. But now you are asking me to kill my guru, Dronacharya and Bhishma. They are not demons. This indeed is a very bad instruction. But actually the Acharyas explained that Madhusudana or Madhu actually also means the bee. And the bee produces honey. And honey is very much loved by the people. Like they say in the West, money is honey because it's sweet as honey. But actually, Madhu also refers to fruitive activities that the living entity is attached to. So the Madhu demon was the acharya in enjoying this world. That's why he was called Madhu. So the killing of Madhu by Krishna also refers to the destruction of the enjoying spirit in a living being who is conditioned like the demon Madhu. So he purifies them by smashing all their fruitive mentality. So like that. So Arjuna, indirectly, he is asking Krishna to kill this mentality of seeing the Kauravas based on his interest. So of course Krishna, he began to instruct Arjuna, although you are speaking wise words, but you are a fool because you are lamenting for that which is not worth of grief. The wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. So in a similar way here, Daksha is approaching the Lord. And the Lord is instructing him to engage in tapasya, just as Lord Brahma, by engaging in tapasya, he was able to create great personalities who in turn helped him to manage the universal affairs. So Arjuna also, he was trying to escape this tapasya. And Krishna engaged him in tapasya. What was his tapasya? It was to kill Dronacharya, to face Bhima in battle and kill them. Because Krishna wanted them to be destroyed. So by engaging in this tapasya, Arjuna was able to win the kingdom. There was no other way by which Arjuna could win the kingdom except fighting and killing all these personalities. That was tapasya for him. So in a similar way here, the Lord is asking Dasha to engage in tapasya. So this is the main point here in this verse. Tapasya. We see that in the beginning, in the ninth chapter of the second canto, Brahma was also confused as to what is his duty, why was he born out of the lotus flower. So in that state, the Lord also gave him instructions that you perform tapasya. And then he explained that this tapasya actually is the energy by which I create, and by the same energy I maintain the universe. So in that way, if you want to create also, you should engage in tapasya. And then Lord Brahma engaged in tapasya. As a result, he was able to create. So this is the point about tapasya, that tapasya is an energy of the Lord by which he creates. He explains that in the ninth chapter of this second canto to Lord Brahma. So without tapasya, Prabhupada says that nothing is possible without tapasya. So tapasya actually refers to those activities that are compulsory. According to Manu Samhita, there are two activities. There are activities that are compulsory, and there are activities that are optional. Optional activities refers to activities within the Vanashram Dharma, the Vanashram system. And then optional activities refers to the activities like tapa, dana, etc., performing austerities, giving charity. Because these activities are meant to elevate the jivatma above the three modes of material nature. Whereas the activities that are optional, they are within the three modes of material nature. So that is why here tapa is recommended for daksha, in order for him to be successful in executing his duties. So in this book by Burujana Prabhu, there's one book called My Glorious Master. I was just reading it in Dubai in March. So in that book, Prabhupada, he explains so many things. One thing that he's explaining is that it's very difficult to advance unless a devotee rises above the mode of passion and ignorance, at least act in goodness. Because in goodness, things, Prabhupada explains, that they become clear. So Prabhupada was walking in one temple, and he saw a dirty toilet as he was passing through smelling. So then immediately he turned to his leaders. He said, you didn't smell that obnoxious toilet. What's wrong with you? He gave an example of fire and water. He says that when fire comes in contact with water, there will be a reaction. He said that in a similar way, when the mode of ignorance comes in contact with the mode of goodness, there will be a reaction. In other words, someone who is in mode of goodness, when he comes in contact with someone who is in mode of goodness, comes in contact with passion or tamaguna, he will react. He said that if you don't react, that means you have the same quality. It means you have the same quality. It's just like when fire meets fire, there is no reaction. But when fire meets water, there is a reaction because of differences in quality. So he was explaining that when we remain in the mode of passion and ignorance, it's very, very difficult to advance in spiritual life. So in a similar way, here, Daksha is advised to engage in tapasya because tapasya helps one to rise above the three modes of material nature. It's like we get up in the morning, that's against us. Naturally, this material body wants to sleep until the sun rises. Yes, but when we engage in devotion service under the instructions of the spiritual master, he instructs us to get up in the morning for Mangal Arati and engage in chanting japa and worshipping the Supreme Lord, that keep us in the mode of goodness. So when we act in the mode of goodness, and then chances of us being influenced by mode of ignorance and passion are very slim. And the result is help us to advance spiritually. Prabhupada explains that. So in a similar way here, Daksha is advised to engage in tapasya, because by engaging in tapasya, the Lord is saying that you'll be able to gain power by which you can perform your universal affairs, just as Lord Brahma engaged in tapasya and he was able to create. Because this tapasya is the energy by which the Lord create and maintain the universe, according to the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So many personalities have engaged in tapasya before. One of them is Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, he performed tapasya, but his tapasya was within the three modes of material nature. In other words, he wanted to gain material powers by which to rule the universe. For the first time he did tapasya, the universe got disturbed. And then the demigods were worried. And then Narada Muni and another sage, they told Lord Brahma that we will disturb Hiranyakashipu. So immediately they transformed themselves into parrots, and then they came to the area where Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities, and they were chanting the names of Narayan. So when he heard this, he was disturbed. Who are these people chanting the names of Narayan? Immediately he went home. So when he went home, he met his wife, and his wife was wondering, "My Lord, why have you come back so early?" So he explained that, "I was just there, but there were these parrots who were chanting the names of Narayan, but I didn't know that it was Narada Muni and his friend." And then his meditation broke. So at that time, the period when he conceived Bharat, as a result of that, he had this wonderful son called Bharat. But still he was not purified. And then, of course, again, he attempted his tapasya. And then, in his second attempt, he wanted to be immortal, not be killed by any man or animal, not on land, not inside the house. He was trying to be immortal so that he can rule indefinitely. But Little did he know that the Lord also had another plan. The same son of his Pilate became his disturbance. And then he sent Pilate to school to learn how to divide and rule, become a past demon, but he became a devotee. So this disturbed Hiranyakasipu. So then he was questioning Pilate. My dear Pilate, tell me, what have you learned? And Pilate explained, I've learned Shravanam, Spanam, Vishnu. Oh, immediately Hiranyakasipu was disturbed again. Then he was thinking, how possible is it that my son, who is so dear to me, has gone to school to learn about Vishnu? This is not according to my interest. So he challenged Pilate. Pilate, you're such a small boy. How dare you to be so brave before me? Where do you get this power? And Pilate was explaining that the source of your power is the source of mine, the Supreme Person. He got even more illustrated. So then eventually Hiranyakasipu, he challenged Pilate. He said that if you truly believe that there is God, there is this Vishnu, I'm challenging you. I'm just going to, because I can see, based on your stubbornness, that you want to die in my hands. Now I'm going to kill you, and then I will see this Vishnu of yours. I want to see him protecting you. So Hiranyakasipu was disturbed. So then the Lord appeared as Narasimhadev. So when the Lord appeared as Narasimhadev, the Lord did not appear in a very usual form, but this form of half lion, half man was very complicated. And Hiranyakasipu was thinking, who is this creature? Anyway, I'm Hiranyakasipu. I'm gonna kill him. So the Lord did not have his chakra, but the chakra of the Lord is manifested in a form of the nails. Hiranyakasipu, through his tapasya, he thought that he could avoid the chakra of the Lord by saying that I should not be killed by any weapon, not by any man. But the chakra of the Lord is the nails. So the chakra manifested as the nails and destroyed Hiranyakasipu's tapasya. Because this tapasya is meant to help the living entity engage in the service of the Lord. It is not meant to help the living entity to destroy the universe. So when tapasya is performed for gaining power over people in the material world by the demons, and then the Lord takes away that tapasya and he destroys those demons. But when the same tapasya is employed by the devotees in relation to devotional service, and then the Lord encourages that tapasya, just as we see in the case of Prajapati Daksha and also Lord Brahma, because that tapasya is the energy by which the Lord maintains, is the energy by which the Lord created the universe. But when it is used by the demons to destroy the universe, and then the Lord immediately takes that tapasya away, just as he took Hiranyakasipu's tapasya. So this is the purpose of tapasya, that it is meant to help the living entity appease the Lord through using his energy in devotional service. So this is another point here regarding tapasya. So many people engaged in tapasya before, even the demons. But the aim was not to please the Lord or engage tapasya in devotional service, was to establish themselves as the lords of the material. As a result, they were unsuccessful. Whereas many, many, many devotees engaged in tapasya and they were elevated from the three modes of material nature. So I'll read the verse again. When the chief lord of the universe, Lord Brahma Swayambhu, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create, he thought himself incapable. Therefore, I gave him advice, and in accordance with my instructions, he underwent extremely difficult austerities. Because of these austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create 9 personalities, including you, to help him in the function of the universe. So we request any comment?